of the name, and I mentally laugh. Then the fireball hits my shirt. It ignites, and my brain freezes, still thinking, but it was just a tiny fireball. That's when I remember the gasoline splashing. Fire scorches me. Mackenzie laughs. She throws back her head and laughs, and all I can think is, she's not infected. This is her. All her. I yank up my shirt, biting back howls of pain. I manage to get it off, and I'm still holding it by one corner when I see her grinning at me, and I whip the shirt at her. She yelps and flies back. That's all I meant to do, scare her, but she must have been in the path of that gasoline, and her own shirt catches fire. She screams. I run at her. Run, shove her to the ground, and hope she has the sense to roll out the fire, because I cannot stop to help, cannot pause to care. I race through the fog, hitting anyone who appears in my way. The fact I'm wearing only a bra seems to help. It gives my attackers pause. Still, I pull on my scorched shirt. When a figure stumbles into me, I grab him by the shoulders, ready to throw him aside. Then, I see his short locks. "It's me," Elijah says as he twists and sees who has him. I let him go, and he steadies himself, turning with a wry smile as blood drips from his mouth.
"You might want to hit me, but I'm on your side."
"Move," I say.
"What?"
I gesture that he's between me and the fighting ahead.
"Oh, right," he says.
He does not, however, move. He wipes blood from his mouth.
"Look, about earlier.
Do you know why I wanted to talk to you then? To warn you about this." His gaze drops.
"Yeah, I'm sorry."
"And I don't actually care. My brother is in there." I point toward the sounds of fighting. "That's what I care about. Mason's free. We're fine. We'd appreciate your help, but that's your choice." I start to go around him. He catches my shoulder.
"Kate."
He pauses, seeing my expression, and murmurs,
"Okay, not the time. Go on, I'm right behind you."
I run, protected by Alan's fog. Once I reach the locus of the fighting, though, the fog hinders more than it helps, and he dissipates it. The mist clears, and I see. I stop short, my breath catching. My brother is fighting, but he's not overwhelmed as I feared. He's facing off against three guys. Holly is just around the corner of the building, casting spells to help him, mostly sorcerer knockbacks to keep him from being jumped while he's mid-swing. Off to the side, Mason has indeed joined the fray, fighting two half-demons. And the rest of our attackers? Some have fled. Others are tending to their injuries. At least a half dozen, though, aren't standing around watching Logan and Mason fight. They are fighting each other. At first, I think some, maybe the non-demons, have come to their senses and are trying to shut this down. Then I realize that's not what I'm seeing at all. This is blind frenzy. Powers flying, and spells flying, and blood flying. The air seems to sizzle with electricity and sets even my nerves ablaze. A hyper-awareness that raises my hackles and makes me want to wheel on Elijah and tell him what I think of him. No, it makes me want to hit him. Slam my fists into him and say, I don't care if he came to our aid. He is not forgiven for hurting me. But he knows that. I've made that clear. And whatever I'm feeling, it affects me only enough to sense that rising rage while knowing it's unfounded. Around me, some of the snarls of rage and howls of pain have taken on a different note. Calls for help. Cries for mercy. It's the non-demons, realizing at last that something is wrong, that this isn't just a way to indulge their most sociopathic impulses. They realize they're in actual danger. And that's what flips the switch in their heads. They're under attack from crazed half-demons, and they're screaming for rescue. And to be bluntly honest, I'm a lot more worried about the half-demons themselves. They're the infected ones. They have an excuse. Yet, even when I see a fire demon grab a gasoline-splattered half-demon, her shirt igniting, I can't stay to help. I will have nightmares about that. Against all better judgment, I will look her up later, see her smiling school photo, and say to myself, this is the girl who caught fire. This is the girl I couldn't help. But I can't. As horrible as it feels, I must take advantage of this madness and let them attack one another, because it keeps them from attacking us. An ice demon grabs my bare arm, his fingers burning as much as any fire. I hiss in pain and spin, my fist raised, but Elijah rips him off me and throws him aside. Another camper jumps on Elijah, and I wrench that one off, and Elijah says a quick, thanks, but I ignore it and barrel on toward my brother. The three of us make quick work of Logan's attackers. These may be supernaturals, but the half-demon's powers aren't mature enough to be a serious threat, and the spellcasters are too busy shouting for someone to come to their rescue. No one does. No one will. Once Logan's free, we help Mason, but he's only fighting one guy. As Elijah and Logan run to help, I notice Alan at the edge of the fray, casting his fog spells. A figure is advancing on him. It's Hayden, the sorcerer who tried to cut Logan's tendon. He's homing in on Alan, who's too busy casting to notice. I leave my brother and Elijah to help Mason, and I jog over as Hayden shouts, "Bitch!" Or that's what he must be saying, because it sounds like witch. But only Alan and I are around, and Hayden sure as hell knows what I am, which is, in canine vernacular, technically a bitch. But his gaze stays fixed on Alan. He grabs Alan's shoulder and whips him around. "I'm talking to you, witch," he says. "Do you think you're fooling anyone?" Alan hits him with a knockback. Hayden staggers, then he recovers, his face gathering in a sneer. "Just because you can do sorcerer magic doesn't make you one, witch." Hayden's fingers rise. I charge and knock him flying, whereupon Hayden proves that he might look like a jock and act like a jock, but he's sure as hell not a jock. He tries a few weak spells and weaker punches, but I only need to land a few blows of my own for him to take off, yowling like a scalded cat. "I'm thinking we were wrong about whatever's infecting people," I say to Alan. "Or else that guy is high as a kite, calling you a witch?" I shake my head. Alan looks at me, his gaze searching mine. Then he grins. It sparks just for a moment before he sobers, eyes still glittering as he says, "Don't worry about him. He's fine. Just a grade A asshole. But you and I need to talk later." Holly comes running over. "Logan's looking for you, Kate. Is he okay?" "He's fine. They're clear and ready to get out of here." I glance at Alan. "You were saying?" "Later," he says. "Time to flee this shitstorm." We run back to the others. Holly casts blur spells, and Alan casts fog, and between the two, we escape the melee and make it into the forest.
"Tell me you found cell phones," Elijah says, panting.
"Yes, but they took out the SIM cards," I say. "We're going to need to get to the highway and flag down a car."
"The three of us will change forms," Logan says. "If they come after us, we'll be better able to fight as wolves." He looks at Elijah. How fast can you shift? I haven't had my first change yet. Kate? Logan says. I'm not nearly as fast as you.
Can we just go?
Mason says.
You guys fight just fine in human form.
Yes, but... Logan begins. I wheel, cutting my brother short. From somewhere at the edge of the fog comes a noise, a snuffling.
Lo,
I say.
I hear it,
he says, tracking the sound. Alan, I murmur, can you kill the fog? With a wave, Alan cancels his spell. Holly casts a cover spell. As long as we stand still, we're covered. Or, that's the theory, though I'm not sure how well it works on a group this large, even huddled together. When the fog dissipates, I see nothing. We're in the forest, the chaos of the camp behind us, and around us, there are only trees. The snuffling comes again, like a giant wolf. But nothing is there. No one speaks. We're all peering around, trying to figure it out. My mind flips through possibilities. The only one even remotely plausible is a werewolf covered by a cover spell. Yet, the snuffling doesn't sound like a wolf's. It's too wet, too... My skin prickles. I can't even name what I hear in that snuffle. Only that it isn't human, isn't wolf, isn't natural. Elijah taps my arm, and I follow his finger to see grass swaying, as if something is moving through it. I glance over to see Mason, predictably not huddled close to us, like a kid who doesn't want to be seen with his uncool parents.
Mason!
I hiss under my breath. He glances over. Then he jerks back with a yelp, his arm flying up, blood drops flicking. Logan yanks him closer to us.
Something bit me,
Mason says, the puncture wounds already closing.
I felt...
The invisible thing lunges, hitting Mason so hard he falls against us. We yank him back. But the thing has his arm, fangs raking through flesh. Mason kicks, and his foot makes contact, hitting with a thud. I kick as hard as I can. My foot strikes something solid, and a yelp rings out, weirdly pitched. Then a growl and a snarl, and I kick again. And the thing must have been leaping at us, because my foot hits it full on, and it yowls as it flies back, setting a maple sapling shaking. The wind whips up, and in that wind, I feel what I sensed earlier. Something cold gripping at my heart, fraying my nerves, infecting me with rage.
Run,
I say.
Where?
Elijah says, shouting to be heard over the wind.
The cabin,
Holly shouts.
It's warded. Get to the cabin.
Someone reaches for my hand. Even before I look over, I know that touch. I glance toward Logan. His hand tightens on mine as that horrible wind becomes the howls of a dozen beasts on our heels. And we run. Chapter 31. Kate. I'm glancing over my shoulder when I trip.
In my defense, I was making sure the damned vampire kept up.
Everyone else runs behind me in a tight knot. But Mason has to hang back, as if we're strolling through a mall and he doesn't want anyone to think he's part of the group. If the guy is that survival-averse, I should let him dawdle. It's not as if he'll die. In fact, the Machiavellian thing to do would be to let him lag behind as a chew toy for the hellbeast. But Mason's behind Logan, and there's a chance, a good one actually, that his lagging is actually
staying between Logan and the Hellbeast. I think someone has a crush, which is terribly sweet, so I cannot help but worry about him, and I glance back and trip over a vine. It isn't more than a stumble, but I'm in the lead, and when I trip, arms flailing, it ripples through the ground, everyone pulling up short. Everyone except Elijah, who dives to my unneeded rescue, damn him, and slams into my side instead. With his werewolf strength, it's like being hit by a bag of cement. We both go flying and crashing into the undergrowth. When we stop bush surfing, Elijah looks down at me, his eyes dark with worry.
You okay?
I was, until I got body slammed by an idiot who thinks I need... I throw him off, his landing thump punctuating my words. Rescue from a killer vine? I was just... A growl reverberates around us. Elijah and I both look around, seeing nothing but thin air. Thin air that growls, and likely has fangs big enough to skewer us whole.
Logan, I whisper, run.
My brother's behind me, and I don't dare turn to look. But when I tell him to run, there's no answering thunder of footfalls.
Take the others,
I say, my gaze fixed on that low growling. I've got this.
We've got it, Elijah says.
Brave words, but I don't think he has any choice in the matter. We're lying on the ground, and when he goes to rise, there's a chomp, as if the beast lunged at him, jaws snapping in warning, telling us to stay down. Take the others, Lo, please, I say, my voice low. Elijah and I will keep the hell beast distracted.
Hellhound, Logan says.
What?
It's a hellhound. They can materialize, but...
Really? Mason says. Does this seem like the time for a bestiary lesson? Fuck this. He charges. I'll keep it busy. Well... The hound snatches his arm before he can finish. Blood flies. Mason flies too, a 6'3" quarterback of a guy whipping through the air like a rag doll. I vault to my feet and rush the hound, or where I presume the hound is, given that it still has hold of Mason, jerking him by the arm as blood spatters the trees. I hit the beast in the side and slamming a wall of coarse fur. Elijah and Logan leap into the fray. They miss the beast. Easy to do when you can't see it. I'm gripping fistfuls of fur, feet flying as I try and fail to kick the beast. Here, I shout. Logan understands what I mean. Hit here, where I'm clutching the hound. He slams his fist into it. Behind us, the spellcasters do their thing. Elijah roundhouse kicks the beast as Logan punches again. And his foot doesn't come near Logan's arm, but my brother still snarls at him. I throw myself on the hellhound, and as I hit the beast, it shimmers. I blink. It's definitely shimmering, revealing a ghostly outline of a black-furred flank. Hit it harder, I shout. I grapple the hellhound as I haul myself onto its broad back. I can see the midnight black expanse of fur. I can also see the beast's head, jaws still clamped tight on Mason's arm, his flesh ripping beneath massive, jagged teeth. Mason lashes out, smacking with his free hand. But while he might not be screaming, his eyes are doing it for him, bright blue wells of agony, his face contorted, his jaw wired shut. He's in too much pain to focus his blows, and his fist only swings blindly at the beast. Holly pauses her casting. Her spell must be failing. I'm certainly not seeing any magical assistance as the guys pummel the beast. I grip its back, and poor Mason is whipped from side to side, his arm shredding.
Just repeat after me.
Holly's voice is sharp with frustration.
Say the words.
She begins casting again, and this time, Alan's voice chimes in, falteringly saying the words after her. The hellhound continues to take shape, opaque now, a huge, black, thick-furred beast. From my vantage point, I can only see its back and hound-like ears. Even that's a blur. Yet, its attention is on the vampire in its jaws, as if the werewolf on its back is little more than an annoying flea. That's what I feel like, too, clinging here. Grabbing one fistful of fur at a time, I haul myself up the hound's back. I almost fall twice, but I finally reach its huge skull and bash my fist down on its muzzle. The hellhound barely flinches. I snarl a curse. That's a sensitive spot on a canine, but apparently hellhounds don't quite fit the genus. When I curse, though, Elijah shouts, "No! Keep at it! You're making it materialize!"
That's not...
The hound's head jerks back, hitting me in the chin, my teeth snapping shut. Blood fills my mouth. I spit it out and say, "It's the casters!" That's what Holly's doing. A witch spell to make the hound materialize, with Alan repeating her words, throwing his sorcerer magic into the mix. "Doesn't matter," Logan says. "Keep." The beast spins, Mason dragged behind as it turns on the annoying werewolves. There's a horrible tearing sound, and Mason howls in rage and pain as he goes flying. Blood spurts, hitting me full in the face. I gasp and rub my face against the hellhound's thick fur. Then I slam my fist down on its snout again, just as it snaps at Logan. I strike again, this time aiming my fist at one red eye. Contact. The beast yowls and bucks. I grab it by the ears, my fingernails digging in. Its head whips back and forth, and I grab its ruff again before I lose my grip. I ram my fist into its eye. As it yowls in pain, Elijah runs in front of it, wielding a tree branch, twice as thick as a baseball bat. "Duck!" he shouts as he swings the branch back. I bury my face in the hound's fur. The tremendous blow rocks through the beast as the wood cracks. And then I'm flying, still on the hound, both of us sailing through the air as Elijah shouts, "Kate!" We hit the ground, the huge beast atop me. I start to scramble out, a snarl as the hound twists. I see my foot, right next to those massive jaws. I pull away, but it's too late. The beast grabs my foot, and I sail into the air.
Chapter 32. Logan. Hellhound. We're fighting a hellhound. That isn't possible. Hellhounds exist only in demon dimensions, and whatever is going wrong here, we have not crossed over into another world. And yes, when my sister is clinging to the back of a giant monster, standing back to muse on the implausibility of it doesn't help anyone. In my defense, while pondering, I'm still pummeling the beast with everything I have. Also, the impossibility of the situation is only a fleeting thought, carried along on a rush of all my data on hellhounds, my brain sifting through the minutiae, searching for something that will help. Clearly, this hound isn't going to stop because a few teenagers are beating on it. Kate's clinging to the hound's back like a cowgirl on a bull. Holly and Alan are casting together, forcing the beast to materialize. Elijah is... I don't know where Elijah is, and I don't really care. He was fighting alongside me, and I want to grumble and say he was only getting in my way, but that would be a lie. He's a werewolf, and apparently he knows how to fight. So even if I'd rather we'd left him behind, I was grudgingly glad for the assistance. Now, though, he's taken off, as reliable as ever. Elijah's gone, and Mason? I'm trying not to think about Mason. I saw him whipped by the hound, heard that terrible sound as his arm tore free of the beast's teeth. I keep telling myself he's all right. No, he'll be all right once he heals, and he will heal. Do I know that for certain? I do not. My concern right now, though, is for my crazy sister riding atop a hellhound, bashing its snout and ramming a fist into its eye as the beast bucks and snarls. Someone yells, "Duck!" And I spin to see Elijah swinging a massive branch at the hellhound with my sister on its back. I lunge to stop him, but it's too late. Kate ducks, and Elijah smashes the branch into the beast's head. The beast topples back onto Kate. I'm running for the hellhound as Kate scrambles to get free. She kicks, and the beast spots that foot, flying straight for her head. She sees her mistake, eyes going wide as she yanks her foot back. The hound chomps down on it. Elijah makes it to the hellhound first. I snarl at him to get out of my way. He ignores me, of course, and dives in to Kate's rescue. Elijah grabs the hellhound's snout, one jaw in each hand as he pries them open. His face screws up like a weightlifter trying to pump twice as much as he should. Sweat breaks out on his forehead. His fingers accidentally slip into the beast's mouth. If Kate does pull free, he's liable to lose a finger or two. For reckless heroics, he's as bad as my sister. "Grab the top!" I shout to be heard over the beast's snarls. I lock my fingers around the bottom of the hound's jaw. "Grab the—" Elijah lets go of the lower jaw, grabbing the snout instead. I hate to give the guy any credit, but he's probably saved my sister's foot. The hound's teeth haven't done more than break the skin. Elijah and I struggle to pry the beast's jaws open, but we can only keep them from clamping down. "Hold on, Kate," I say between gritted teeth. "Just let us—" She yanks her foot free, scraping over sharp canines, blood welling. Then she shouts, "Let go!" And I see her foot pull back for a kick. I release the top of the hound's snout. Elijah hesitates until he sees her foot slam out, and then he lets go fast as Kate's foot plows into the hound's jaw. The beast tumbles back. The hellhound barely skims the ground before it's on its feet again, slavering as bloody froth drips. It has fully materialized now, and I'm looking at a beast twice the size of a wolf and triple the weight, with 4-inch fangs and glowing red eyes. It's canine but grotesque, like a toddler mashing a dog-shaped figure from raw clay. Features askew, thick legs and lumpy torso and misshapen head. Kate inches closer to me, and Elijah glances over sharply, as if surprised she's taking refuge. She's not hiding behind me, she's moving beside me, shoulder to shoulder, facing off against the hound. Elijah grabs the fallen branch and steps Kate's way, flanking her. The hellhound lowers its head between its shoulder blades and snarls at us.
"Yeah, we can see you," Elijah says, wielding the branch. "You aren't hidden anymore."
The hound snaps and snarls, but it takes a slow step back. Elijah starts to lunge, and Kate grabs his sleeve, murmuring,
"Let it retreat."
Those red eyes fix on Elijah as the beast steps back again. It's watching him, ready to charge us if he so much as test swings that branch. If he does, the hellhound won't need to take him down. I'll do it myself. The beast takes another 2 careful steps backward. One final snarl, and then it wheels and runs into the forest.
"Keep watching it in case it changes its mind," Kate says.
Then she runs to Mason, and pride surges in me.
My sister can be the most impulsive, reckless person alive. Jumping onto a hellhound? Really? I grew up trotting along in her footsteps as she barreled into danger, expecting me to follow. I do follow, though, because she's always the first person throwing herself into battle, and she's the first one checking afterward to make sure everyone is okay. As Kate runs to help Mason, I scan for any sign of the hellhound returning. It seems to be gone. I don't like that, though, and when Elijah says, "I'm going to scout," I don't stop him. "Don't go far," I say. He turns a cool look on me. "I'm not a child. I'm not a pack wolf either." He means he doesn't need to obey the Alpha's son, but I snort and say, "Yeah, I can tell." His dark eyes narrow. "What's that supposed to mean?" "It means you nearly got my sister killed flinging that around." I nod at the tree limb in his hand. "I know you two aren't fake dating anymore, but I'm going to warn you to stay away from her. She doesn't need a guy who'd sacrifice her to save himself."
"What?"
he sputters.
"I almost got killed by those crazy half-demons."
He shakes his head.
"Forget it. I might not be Kate's favorite person right now, and I earned that, but I would never do anything to hurt your sister. I knew she'd duck when I told her to. I'd have stopped swinging if she didn't. I don't know what your problem is, Logan."
I think that's the first time you've used my name. He flinches before barreling on.
"I've barely spoken to you, so yeah, I haven't. I know who you are, and I know why you don't like using my name."
His mouth opens, shuts. "Tell her, or I will," I say as I walk away. "And I'm going to, as soon as I get the chance. She needs to know you're up to something and you cannot be trusted." I jog to where Mason sits, propped against a tree as Kate examines his arm. I'm surprised he's letting her do that, until I see she's not giving him a choice. He's still grumbling, like we're all making too big a fuss over this, and please, can we just go away and let him brood in peace?
"Take the others and get to the cabin," Kate says, not looking up from her ministrations.
"No," Mason growls. "Tell your sister to stop playing doctor with me. She's really not my type."
Kate manages to flash him a finger while still working on his arm.
"He's still bleeding. Just take the others and go."
I shake my head. "The hellhound's gone, and we need to stick together. We'll leave as soon as he's ready."
"Can you make him sit his ass down?" Kate says. "Before I kick it down?"
"Can you make her let go of my arm?" Mason says. "Before she snaps it off?"
"The bone isn't broken," she says. "Your arm won't come off that easily. Which is unfortunate because I've always wondered how that works with vamps. Do they regrow a new limb? Or do they lose it for good?"
She looks up at Mason.
"We could answer that question right now, for the sake of supernatural medical science."
He only snorts and rolls his eyes.
"I think they lose it for good," Holly says, standing nearby as she and Alan scan the forest for the hellhound. "That's what the lore suggests."
"It doesn't grow back," I say, "but the arm can reattach itself if you hold it against the stump."
"Really? Cool. Where'd you read that?"
"Giscani's medieval treatise on the healing properties of vampires." Holly sighs.
"I've been looking for that one."
"God save us from the geeks," Mason mutters.
"No," Holly says. "The geeks will save you. Next time a hellhound attacks, you can let it take your arm, knowing you can reattach it. Well, as long as it doesn't run off and eat it for dinner."
Mason mutters under his breath. I pace around, squinting into the bushes. Kate's right that we need to keep moving. There's no way I can leave her behind, though, so I'm playing along with her, joking and acting like everything's fine, and we're safe here. We are not safe here, not one bit. Yet the others are taking their cues from us, and we need to keep them calm. The woods remain silent and still. If I strain, I can hear shouts from camp, and I try very hard not to think about that. We can't go back. We need to keep moving. Stabilize Mason, and then run for that warded cabin.
Everything okay? Holly asks.
All quiet, I say. A hellhound is like any other predator. Once it realizes you're not easy prey, it backs off. Kate's look calls me on the lie, but she nods, satisfied with it. I lean in to look at Mason's arm. Alan stays off to the side, gaze averted, and I don't blame him. It's not a sight for a weak stomach. Even Mason, as cool as he's acting, doesn't look down at the mangled mess of flesh. It is healing. That's the only reason I can look at it, witnessing a fascinating phenomenon without feeling like a ghoul. Let my inner geek flag fly at this rare opportunity. I still cannot do it with completely scientific dispassion. I'm horrified by what I see. The flesh ripped, white bone showing, Kate clamping down to keep Mason from bleeding out. How are you doing? I ask, lowering my voice so the spellcasters can't hear. Peachy. Thanks, pup.
He's a gem, Kate says, and she clamps harder on Mason's elbow, making him wince and shoot her a glare, to which she returns a sunshine-bright smile.
He snorts, but there's no anger there. I might even detect a glimmer of amusement, granting her a point.
Logan, Kate says, gaze on her work. We're going to be done here in 5 minutes. If that gives you time to change.
I curse under my breath. I should have thought of that. In fact, I should be changed by now. I begin. Kate! We all jump at the shout, echoing from deep in the forest. I'm confused at first, thinking whatever is out there is calling my sister. But her head jerks up and she says,
Elijah?
She looks at me.
Where's?
A crashing through the forest cuts her off. Elijah shouts, Kate! Again. Then, Kate! Run! And Kate grabs my hand, clamping it onto Mason's arm as she leaps up. I see Elijah through the trees. He's at least 100 feet away. Then he's in the air, hoisted by an invisible hand. He dangles there a moment as Kate runs into the forest, shouting,
Elijah!
The invisible hand whips him back and then hurls him through the air as Kate screams.
Chapter 33. Kate.
You're a very brave boy, I say to Mason as I adjust my hold on his arm, using my werewolf-tight grip as a tourniquet. If you keep this up, I'll need to find you a lollipop.
Fuck off, he says, but there's no rancor in it, and I can tell I've guessed right.
He appreciates flippancy more than sympathy. He's in agony right now, blue eyes nearly black with pain, teeth gritted, sweat running down his broad face. The fact he's not rolling on the ground or sinking into shock tells me the tough guy act isn't entirely an act. It's a wall, too, though. One that keeps everyone else firmly on the other side and lets him hide behind it while pretending he's not hiding at all. I know that feeling. I've been living with it all my life. In my case, my schoolyard defense is a carefree, in-your-face brashness that hides the fact that I'd really rather run home to my pack.
I'd suggest you don't look at it, I say.
Fine by me. My insides are not my best angle.
I snort at that. Then I glance over to where Logan and Elijah stand guard, watching the hellhounds retreat. My mind flits in that direction.
A hellhound? Why? How?
Before I yank it back, making sure Mason doesn't lose his arm. The only thing holding the limb is cartilage, and I'm trying not to feel ill at that. As a werewolf who also wants to be a doctor, I'm fine with gore.
The nausea comes from knowing that I'd be willing to let Mason get tossed around to distract a hellhound, while not considering that it could have done permanent damage. Holly slides over to help, but I ask her to stand guard instead. "You hanging in there?" I ask Mason.
"I don't know. Is my arm still hanging in there?"
I chuckle. "It is, and it's healing. I can literally watch it heal. It's fascinating, really."
"I'll take your word for it."
It is indeed fascinating. The tissue stitches itself together, blood vessels and muscle finding their torn edges and healing before my eyes. I tuck a few pieces in to aid the process, and I do murmur an apology to Mason for that, but he only shrugs and grunts, "whatever," which might sound like he's rejecting my apology, but really only means I can do what I must. He trusts me, and I'd like to think I've earned that, but I suspect I've won it simply by being Logan's sister. I've seen the way Mason looks at my brother when he thinks no one is watching. He might snark and insult Logan, but I see a guy with a crush he's desperate to hide from everyone, especially the subject of that infatuation. As for whether Logan is interested back, honestly, I've never known my brother to be more than mildly intrigued by anyone, and when he is, his target is as likely to be a guy as a girl. That's just Logan. He'll find the right person when he's ready. And if the past is any indication, he'd need to know Mason a lot better before his attention turns in that direction. Mason tenses, his entire body going still. And when I glance up, he's looking at something behind me. Then his gaze drops fast, his features hardening to implacable stone. And I know who's walking over. "Can you make him sit his ass down?" I say to Logan before he even steps into view. "Before I kick it down?"
"Can you make her let go of my arm?" Mason grumbles. "Before she snaps it off?"
I snark back at him, and Holly joins us as she and Logan discuss the finer points of vampire healing powers. I stay out of the conversation and keep my attention on clamping off the blood flow and nudging pieces into position. When they're done talking, though, I do bring up an important point. The fact that the Hellhound almost certainly didn't just magically appear here on its own. A voice booms, shouting my name. I look up sharply. "Elijah? Where's..." Something crashes through the forest. No, not something. Elijah crashes through the forest. What the hell is Elijah doing there? He was just with Logan, standing guard.
"Kate!" Elijah bellows. "Run!"
I grab Logan's hand and clamp it onto Mason's arm. Then I race toward the crashes, squinting to see into the thick forest. There! I see Elijah running. But he isn't running toward us. He's going in the opposite direction, leading something away from us. I start to run. Then, suddenly, Elijah isn't running anymore. He's dangling in the air. "Elijah!" I shout. His eyes widen, his limbs windmill as he flails to get down. Then whatever has him throws him through the trees. I let out a scream of rage as I race toward him.
"Kate!" Alan shouts behind me. "Don't!"
The rest is cut off by the thunder of running footfalls. I glance back to see Logan coming after me. Holly now clamping down on Mason's arm as Alan follows Logan. I race to where Elijah lies, crumpled in a twisted heap, not moving, and my heart slams against my ribs.
"Elijah!"
Movement. Excruciatingly slow movement as he lifts his head, blinking at me. Then his eyes go wide, head whipping up as his mouth opens. Something hits me in the side and knocks me flying into a tree. Logan snarls in rage, and I dimly hear Holly shouting, "Get back here! Do not!"
"Hey," Mason yells. "You want a plaything? Come get it."
"Demon," I whisper as I push up. Arms grab me, my brother tugging me to my feet. I whisper "demon" again, still winded, every breath searing through me.
"I know," Logan says grimly.
He doesn't say more. He doesn't need to. My brother might be the expert when it comes to our supernatural world, but even I know that if there's a hellhound where a hellhound should not be, that can only mean one thing. It's been brought here by a demon. I push to my feet and look around. The forest has gone quiet. Mason's striding around the clearing, his face set in grim determination. Holly's there, and Alan, too, fog wafting from his fingertips, ready to cast it and hide us. But there's nothing to hide us from. All is quiet.
"Too quiet,"
Logan murmurs, as if reading my thoughts. I nod and stagger to Elijah on wobbly legs. He's doubled over, retching. When I approach, he waves off my concern. I reach out and he stands, putting an arm around my shoulders, letting us prop each other up. The others reach us, and we instinctively cluster, spellcasters in the middle. When a growl sounds in front of us, Elijah stiffens, his arm tightening around my shoulders.
"That you, Mutt?" Elijah says. "You really think that's a good idea? We kicked your ass."
Another growl sounds, this one off to our left. I'm turning that way when the hellhound behind us snarls again.
"Please tell me hellhounds can teleport," Elijah whispers.
"Sorry," I murmur.
"Don't move," Logan says. "Holly?"
She's already casting her spell to materialize the hounds. Alan joins in. Two forms begin to appear. Two massive hellhounds.
"Ideas?" Elijah murmurs.
"Run like hell?" I say. He gives a strained chuckle.
"Yeah, I'm thinking that's all we've got."
I glance at Logan. He nods. When I look toward Holly, she points in the direction of the cabin, our initial destination. "Okay," I murmur. "On the count of three, Logan, Elijah, and I will move toward Holly and Alan. Mason?" I look at him, the farthest from the group, as always.
"I'll distract them," he says. "Give you guys a head start."
"Let them each grab an arm and rip you in two?" I say. "I don't think you can recover from that."
"Go on, Kate,"
Logan says to me. "I'll stay with Mason."
Mason scowls his way.
"I don't need a guard dog, pup." "Too bad. You stay, I..."
"For fuck's sake, are we running?" Mason says.
"Get on with it."
I reach and squeeze Logan's hand. Then we run.
Chapter 34. Logan. Two hellhounds. As Kate would say, of course there had to be two. One just wasn't challenging enough. We run in a group with the werewolves on the outside. Mason tries to lag behind, but he doesn't try very hard, and I only need to look over my shoulder for him to glower and grumble and catch up. Even he isn't keen to put himself in the path of two hellhounds. As the hounds pursue, the spellcasters hide us with fog and blur spells. They don't bother forcing the beast to materialize. We can hear them crashing through the forest. That's all they do, though, and I feel like a rabbit being run to ground. They could catch up, I'm sure of that, but they don't.
I catch glimpses of Kate's sweat-streaked face, and I know she's in pain. Elijah is, too, when I bother to look his way. Whatever his initial game plan with Kate, I grudgingly admit he's carried his weight in battle. The rest can be tackled later. So the hounds could catch up. They're toying with us, and one of the first things we learned from our parents was not to toy with prey. Yes, the chase and the hunt are fun, exhilarating, adrenaline-pumping fun, but you must enjoy that part while your prey still has an actual chance of escape. Once they're cornered, it doesn't matter if it's a mouse or a rabbit or a coyote, you do not prolong the torment.
"I see the cabin," Kate calls. "Logan, Elijah, grab sticks if you see them. Alan and Holly, we'll need your casting."
The cabin appears, rising from the forest. We all bear down, finding that last bit of energy as we barrel toward it. We clamber onto the porch, and Kate starts hammering on the door, trying to smash it down. We form a knot around her, with me and Elijah in front, both brandishing sticks. Mason has one too, and he's backed against the spellcasters, letting them work their magic. Fog spells, cover spells, knockbacks, and fireballs. They unleash their entire arsenal as the hellhounds snap and lunge at us.
"We're going to run out of juice soon," Alan warns.
"I know,"
Kate says. "This damn door isn't budging. Logan?"
I flip around and dodge between the two spellcasters.
"Count of three," I say, and we ram our shoulders against the door simultaneously. Pain shoots through me, and the door doesn't budge.
"Son of a bitch," Kate snarls.
"Window," I say, and I shove past Mason to get to the nearest front window. It's boarded from the inside with simple plywood. I slam my fist into it. Pain arcs through my hand while the wood only cracks down the middle. Okay, not simple plywood. It's reinforced with 2x4s. I lift my hand again.
"Stand back,"
Kate says, lifting a branch. She smashes the stick into the wood. It cracks more, and the branch snaps in half. She starts battering with the broken branch. A hiss of pain behind us. Alan staggers, blood dripping from his arm. I grab him as Kate yanks on the broken boards, clearing enough for Alan to scramble through. He falls inside, cursing, but I'm already hefting Holly.
"Mason!" I shout.
"I got this. Forget him," Elijah calls. "Get yourselves inside. That fog is about to disperse, and when it does..."
Elijah flies back into the wall with a thud and an oomph, and Kate dives to his rescue. Inside, Holly and Alan must be casting, because I catch a glimpse of black fur, a flash of monstrous fangs. My sister is making contact with the ladder. Elijah and I grab Kate at the same time, and we heave her, still fighting, through the window. As Kate tumbles into the house, Elijah turns to me with a wide smile and a hand lifted for a high five. I shove him toward the window. He shakes his head and scrambles through. Then I turn to Mason.
"Go on, pup,"
he says, not looking my way.
"I've got this."
I hoist him by the back of his shirt, ignoring his,
"Hey!"
and his struggles, and I shove him through the window. Inside, Kate hauls him through.
"Let go!"
Mason begins, and she does, tossing him unceremoniously aside. Then she reaches through the window, wraps her hands in my shirt front, and heaves. As I fly up, the 4-inch fangs of a hellhound clamp down on my foot. Pain sears up my calf as I tumble through the window.
Shit!
Kate drags me away from the window and drops over my leg as red rivulets run down it. I grit my teeth and pull my leg in, waving off her concern as I push to my feet. We all turn toward the window. Outside, the hounds snarl, and when I ease closer, I see them, half materialized, pacing.
"You know why I wasn't in a hurry to get inside?"
Mason calls from across the small room.
"Because you love us and want to keep us safe?"
Kate says. He snorts.
because I'm not stupid enough to trap myself in an old wooden house, especially after the big bad wolves busted open a window big enough for those things to squeeze through. But thanks, pup, for trapping me in here to die with you. I appreciate that.
Kate pats his shoulder. Don't worry, you won't die, big guy. You get to come back as a giant mosquito.
He lifts his middle finger in front of her face.
Truth, she says. However, as you may have noticed, the hounds are not at our door or our window. Remember that night you died?
You mean last night?
Time flies, huh? Well, after you slunk off on Logan...
I didn't slink.
After you slunk off, the rest of our Scooby gang went exploring. We found this place, which is warded. Now we know what it's warded against.
She waves outside.
Voila! Thou shalt not cross, hellhounds.
Yeah? Well, you know what? We can't cross either. Not with a couple of hellhounds out there. You think demonic beasts get tired, take naps?
You are such a ray of sunshine. You're lucky my brother feels responsible for you, or I'd toss you out for the hounds to chew on.
Feels responsible for me? Mason sputters.
You didn't think he was letting you hang around for your charming personality, did you?
She grins at Mason, who scowls back. And I feel like I've missed a joke. Clearly Kate is teasing Mason, and I'm not sure why. She walks over and grabs his good arm, and I tense, ready to intercede if he gets pissy. He can mistreat me all he wants, but he better not try that with Kate, especially not when she's been much more considerate than he deserves. When she grabs his arm, though, he only shoots me a glare, like this is all my fault. She hauls him to the window and waves out at the prowling hounds.
You really think you'd be better off out there? She says. If you do, be my guest. I'll keep Logan from stopping you.
He grumbles, nothing intelligible.
Yeah, that's what I thought, she says. You're just being a pain in the ass for the sake of being a pain in the ass.
No, I'm pointing out the flaws in your plan, Goldilocks. Those wolves are at the door, and they're not going away.
Goldilocks is bears, the three bears.
Either way, you're gonna get eaten. We all are. So is anyone who comes to rescue us.
Well then, it's a good thing no one will come to rescue us. Did I mention we found our cell phones? They took out the SIM cards. We're stuck here until we come up with a plan. So how about you brood on that for a while, big guy? Find yourself a corner, and we'll all stay out of your way while you pretend to be thinking up a plan.
He glances at the window.
You're sure it's safe in here?
No, we are not, I say. We presume that's what the warding is for, given that it seems to be working.
Time to catch our breath and, as Kate said, come up with a plan.
Guys? Alan says. I hate to interrupt, but I think I know why Kate couldn't break down the front door.
Is it barricaded? I ask.
You could say that.
We follow him into the hall. Holly peeks out from a room where she's been poking around. Elijah is right behind Alan, and he sees the front door first and stops short.
Holy shit, he says. Is that
the reason why we couldn't get in? Alan says. I think so.
I round the corner into the entryway, and my shoes squeak as I stop. The door is indeed barricaded. Thick planks are nailed across it. There's something nailed to the planks, too. Long white bones.
Tell me those are deer, Elijah says.
No,
Kate says, her gaze rising to the ceiling where human skulls grin down.
I don't think they are.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Wolfsbane, Otherworld, Kate and Logan, Book 1. Written by Kelly Armstrong, performed by Justice Boulding and Austin Rising. Executive producers Jolice Beaton and Mike Charzik. Producer Timothy Warner. Copyright 2019 by KLA Frick, Inc. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.